Sneakers Birkenstock, featuring more than 40 brands of footwear, socks, purses, and hats. Baker's Birkenstock has been serving our community for over 40 years with locations at 333 Broadway Street in downtown Chico, right downstairs. Also, 5781 Clark Road in Paradise. So thank you to them. Support local business, people. It's important. But with no further ado, let's start the show.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Indeed we are. Talking about practice, I'm one of your hosts, Drew Gilbert. Jonathan Newberry, Noobs, is in the building.
What's up? Happy December 26th.
Yes, sir. Christmas is over. Yeah. The stress, the pressure for many people.
Right. Hanukkah's still going on, though. Still it going
is,
strong.
It is still going on. So
happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends.
No doubt. Merry belated Christmas to our listeners. And happy Kwanzaa, if that's what you celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, if you celebrate nothing, then good for you. Even less stress, you know.
Right.
So definitely happy holidays to everyone. Excited to come in and do the show today because we had a ton of stuff kind of break over the last few or over the last week since we last got to do the show. Ton of games to get to, big weekend in the NFL, but I think we should start with the NBA just because the NBA has positioned themselves they kind of own Christmas
now. That's their day.
Yeah, and they pushed football to move their games. Now, football has been doing this for a while now. Well, towards the last few weeks of the year, they'll put games on Saturdays.
Right, but not the majority of the schedule like they did this year.
Yeah, that was the first time I've seen them do that. So. And I think it's a direct correlation to they didn't want to go up against some of the games. I think
they actually have like an agreement, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a written thing or just kind of like a courtesy thing,
right?
But
right.
You know what I mean, because honestly I think the NFL would, I don't think they're scared of going up against the NBA.
No.
As far as right ratings, but I think it's just kind of a courtesy thing.
Sure.
Kind of like how there's no NBA games on the Monday night of the national championship in college.
Right, right.
Those types of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was no bowl games on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like I feel like these organizations kind of like, I don't know if it's like written or if it's just kind of like a courtesy thing.
Yeah, it may just be. But
they did have two really big games yesterday, though.
They sure did.
Huge playoff implications.
Yeah, the AFC playoff is the playoff picture is set, and we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But definitely wanted to start with the game that probably most people are talking about in the NBA
rematch.
Circles. The rematch from last year's finals and the year before that's finals.
Yep.
Golden State
possibly this year's
yeah,
finals.
Yeah, right. Golden State Warriors took on Cleveland. They ended up losing 109-108 in Cleveland yesterday. Behind Kyrie Irving's ridiculous turnaround shot in the paint with 3.1 seconds left. The game ended with Kevin Durant getting the inbounds, getting fouled, but no foul called. And that's how it ended. Wanted to start with that just because on the way driving in, I went down to the lovely Amy's parents' house for Christmas. It was a great time, but we were driving back. Now I'm checking my social media, and on Twitter, I saw that the refs, the NBA issued a statement. And the refs said that they blew the call. Mm. They should have called it. And my first question before we get to the game is, why do they do that? Now, that's not my question. Because I understand
you know
exactly why they do that. Yes. There's this man named Tim Donaghy. He used to be a referee in the NBA. And many of you long-suffering Sacramento Kings fans probably shut this radio off or started screaming into a pillow the moment I mentioned the man's name, because he more or less screwed your franchise out of a trip to the finals. There's a huge gambling shakeup or scandal where he was betting on games and influencing the outcomes of games. So, and
did time in federal prison.
He sure did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that's the NBA's goal, is to be more transparent.
Right.
Because that really damaged the NBA's reputation. I mean, gamblers are a huge part of the audience, right?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that scandal had widened, mm-hmm. that could have really, I don't know if it would have brought down the NBA, because there's really no competition in professional basketball, but it would have been really, really bad. I mean, they could have tumbled past hockey, because
right.
if people don't have confidence that the games are legit, I mean, every gambler probably, like, and their worst moment says, oh, the game's fixed.
Yeah, it's
because they're bitter about losing. But there are these instances that happen. And then David Stern, who was the commissioner at the time, said, you know, this guy was a, quote, rogue. He was like a rogue agent or a mm-hmm. lone wolf.
Right.
You know.
He's operating in a vacuum.
But, like, the one guy, Scott Foster, I think, who's still currently an NBA referee, there was, like, hundreds of phone calls between those guys compared to like Tim Donaghy's communications with the other refs.
Right.
And so like the whole Scott Foster issue kind of got swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always been this kind of underlying thing that when the NBA needs a series to go a certain way, Joey Crawford is in the house.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like all the time.
Yeah.
Spurs, Suns, I mean, you name it.
Right.
Joey Crawford's and he's reffing that game. And so, you know, because everybody always knows, oh, they want it to go seven, you know, but a lot of times it doesn't go seven because you can't fix the entire thing.
Right.
And I'm not saying necessarily that they want to fix the entire thing or that this was an institutional fix.
Mm.
I think he could have been just a guy that got in trouble with the mob.
Sure.
Decided to get out of debt with them and so decided to start influencing games and maybe even was influencing them for his own benefit.
Right.
Betting on those games in which he was reffing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a huge can of worms.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? And so the NBA kind of dodged a bullet by sweeping it under the rug,
basically.
And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, wink, wink, nod, nod. Nobody talks about it, really. We are.
Yeah, right,
that's what
right.
we do on the show.
Sure.
But, you know, like ESPN, you turn on ESPN, they don't, anytime something weird happens, it's not like they go, oh, Tim Donaghy.
Right.
Nobody talks about it.
Right, yeah. And it's one of those things that, like you said, I wanted to get back to your point where this could have been a devastating blow to the NBA when it happened. I mean, if you can't trust the credibility of the game you're watching, then what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, and then all these conspiracies that I've had, that Jake's had, that we've all mentioned at times, if you're going to give us a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, cracking the door.
Yeah, that's not good for your league.
No.
And so I understand the goal of coming out and doing these last 2-minute reviews. They do them for every game, just so the audience is clear. Any game where there was a call that is semi-controversial, the game was hanging in the balance, they always review the last 2 minutes. And they give a report that's made available to the public, which in theory is a good idea. But who does it really help? I guess it helps with the credibility. Great, we know that you guys are looking into it. But the Warriors aren't taking any solace in, oh, well, Kevin Durant should have gone on the line yesterday. They're not feeling any better.
Formulating your own commission, like, you know, with 9/11 or mm-hmm. Watergate or
right.
these things, it's like, okay, and then you put the guys who were in charge of it in charge of the investigation.
Right, right.
It's like, no. Because you can always just say, oh, well, we missed that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
But the game's over and what's done is done.
Right. And this is something that has been discussed before, was having the ability to review fouls or non-call or the lack thereof of foul being called in the last couple minutes of an NBA game. Part of the issue with that is just how long they take to review. Did the guy get the... I mean, there was a call yesterday in the last couple minutes where Klay Thompson clearly hit a three after the 24-second shot clock went off. And they spent a good minute and a half reviewing it. And I'm, you know, hardcore, diehard Warriors fan. And I knew it. There was no doubt in my mind that the buzzer went off. And we still had to spend 90 seconds, which ended up actually giving Cleveland a timeout. They didn't have timeouts. If they just had to take the ball out under the hoop, maybe Kyrie they can't get the ball to Kyrie.
Right.
Or who knows? You don't know what happens.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, it gave Cleveland 90 seconds to draw up a play, to figure out who's going to inbound, and all those type of things that they'd have to figure out on the fly. And so I see that being a potential problem. I don't know what the fix is. I find it a little irritating that we hear, oh, my bad, we missed that one.
Well, the other two, when they're also reviewing it in game, it's like they have three guys huddled around this tiny monitor.
Right.
Like, why don't they have someone like in the league office somewhere in New York or whatever with a giant screen,
mm-hmm.
and they just call down it was good or it wasn't or
right.
whatever. Like,
right.
why, like this 90-second delay that you're talking about, it happens so often and it kills the momentum of the
yes.
game. Sometimes it gives the team a free timeout.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it kind of like messes with the competitive integrity of the game.
Exactly.
You know?
And that I thought that was a huge deal yesterday, Cleveland getting that extra timeout because they were out of timeouts,
right.
like I said. And so I just think it does give them a bit of an advantage. And I'm not saying for a second that's why the Warriors lost. I'm not making an excuse. Maybe don't blow a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Maybe, yeah.
And we're not talking about this at all. But, you know, I just find it interesting, and I wonder how they're going to solve this, because the NFL, I feel, has done a pretty good job. All scoring plays are under review. And
turnovers, too.
Turnovers as well, you're right. And they have someone at the league office watching every game, and they do it pretty quickly compared to how it was several years ago
yeah.
when they had to go under the little hood.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, one guy's watching it for 5 minutes, and then
yeah.
they come out and make the call. So I think the NFL's starting to correct that, and I wish the NBA would go the same way and just have someone watching these games, pay someone $50,000 a year. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not that hard to figure out. And they just call in and say, yep, no, that's a shot clock violation. Let play on, whatever right. whatever it is, you know.
And maybe even like, you know, in the NFL, maybe just across the board, maybe it would be a good idea to have like an individual reviewer in each stadium
mm-hmm.
as opposed to going to an office in New York.
Sure.
Because you have probably a team of people that are having to look at like all seven or eight games that are happening at
right.
once on a Sunday morning,
right.
afternoon, East Coast, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
So well, like, I know how in the NFL they dedicate individuals to individual games.
Oh, they do? Okay, good.
So there's
okay.
one person you
just
know,
watching that game.
Watching
okay.
one game, yeah.
Right.
So the NBA, they have enough money. They could figure it out.
Oh, there's plenty of money.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys like me who would do that job for $50,000 a year.
Totally.
And watch
That'd
hoop all day. That'd be awesome.
That would be sick.
Yeah, so, you know.
It really is amazing sometimes when you're watching these games and, like, they're trying to figure out who the ball went out on last
yeah.
in basketball. And it's, like, clear it went off that dude's
right.
hand.
Right.
It takes 2 minutes. Like, come on, guys. I can see it from my couch.
Yeah, and there's a lull. Like, if you're the home team, right, and you're going on a run, and then this happens, you're crowd gets taken out of it. They got, you know, we're all humans. They got to get revved back up.
Right.
And it's not that easy. You have a 2 minute, 3 minute pause in the middle of the game to check a call. And the whole, and the other problem is the entire crowd can look up at the Jumbotron and they can see, oh, okay, it's clearly out on mm-hmm. whomever. Let's roll. You know,
yeah.
like you said, it's funny. You see three refs huddled around this tiny little 15-inch monitor.
Yeah.
It's like a laptop, basically.
Seriously,
you know?
It reminds me of my Apple Mac from
right,
the 80s.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And on top of that, they have fans yelling at them because they're checking it at the scores table.
Yeah.
So,
and you get the audience's reaction first. So
right.
Like groaning or cheering
so
or whatever.
So there's some... There's a potential for influence there.
And the games are brutally slow.
Yes.
NBA anyway, because of the fouling, the timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you have these like incessant replays, it's like it really drags it down.
Yeah, absolutely. But I did want to say, moving forward, I don't want to get into the minutia of the game so much. It was a fun game, entertaining back and forth. Definitely the pace that favored Cleveland. I think being at home helps Cleveland immensely in that spot. But moving forward, I think without any major injuries or any major trades or something crazy happening, this is probably what we're going to be looking at our NBA Finals. Obviously, the Warriors will have a much tougher road in the West.
Totally.
The top of the West is a lot tougher than the top of the East, with the Spurs being an issue potentially. And I don't really believe in the Clippers, but Mr. Derek Usumaki just walked in the building,
yeah.
fresh in from L.A. We'll get him here on a mic in just a moment. But I did want to mention, I just think that NBA fans, we have the potential for one of those Lakers Celtics of the 80s type rivalries.
No doubt.
If we go 3 years back to back to back, that's never happened in the NBA before. Hello, Derek.
What's up, guys? How are we doing today?
What's up?
Great.
Good. How are you?
Wow, this is a fun time right now.
Yeah.
You guys talking about one of my personal heroes before the start of the show, Tim Donahue. So,
thank you.
Praise. Yeah, no, I was catching it. Just honestly, literally just came up from LA.
Nice.
I have not visited my house yet. So,
nice.
And my car is packed with stuff. So,
that's dedication,
sweet.
My friend.
I really had to go to the bathroom, was the big deal. So, yeah. Man, bladder, feeling it.
Been
yes.
there.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's happening, man? It's good to have you. So,
you talking finals?
Yeah. possible finals rematch again this year.
Didn't the Celtics and Lakers go 3 in a row in the 80s?
Did they? I thought this would be the first time. I could be wrong. You might be right.
I know that they won, like the Celtics won 84 and 86,
right.
But they beat the Rockets one of those years, so I can't remember.
This is why we're going to try and get a producer so they could fact check these.
Well, I just need to buy a new laptop.
I was going to say, I think that we have a Boston fan and a Laker fan, and we can't even figure that out right
now. Well,
no,
I know that between the two of them, they won each year, 84, 85, 86, and 87.
They went crazy, but they weren't facing each other all the time.
No, the Lakers got the best of them twice, and the Celtics beat Houston in one
That's
of those
right.
years. I just can't remember if it was 84 breaking up the three-year run or if it was 86.
I want to say that I heard that this would, if this happened, it would be the first time it happened. I could be wrong, though. Regardless, if this does happen, what a treat for NBA fans. Even if you're not a fan of either one of these teams, I think whenever there's a major rivalry and a championship's on the line, just like I would love to see Patriots Giants again.
I don't know if I can handle that.
I know most Patriots fans like yourself probably don't want to see that, but I think it would be great.
Well, I wanted them bad the second time.
Yeah,
I was like, you got to get revenge for that undefeated season, and then they lost again. So it's one of those like, be careful what you wish for.
Right. Yeah.
Like
right.
I'm at my buddy's house. Right. I'm watching the conference championship games. You know, New England barely gets by Baltimore that year.
Yeah.
And then, wasn't that the view that like they had that ball knocked out of the Baltimore's receiver hand in the touchdown or something?
At the very I mean, and then Baltimore got him in New England the next year, and the Niners won the next year. But it was like those two teams were like in the conference finals or in the conference championship. And so I'm at my buddy's house, huge Niners fan, and I'm with my other buddy, the only other Patriots fan I know up here, right?
Yeah.
And we're like secretly like rooting for the Giants against the Niners. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I hated to do it because I'm at my buddy's house and we're partying and it's like, you know, but I wanted the Giants again, you know, and then be careful what you wish for because they beat us twice.
Right.
Yeah, it was tough.
But I think that budding rivalries like that are so good for the game.
No doubt.
Yeah, just I love like, the smack that they're talking right now. Like the reminder of 3-1 in the locker room that Cleveland did.
Yeah.
That was great.
What did they do?
They like put a picture of like LeBron blocking Iguodala's shot, like right where they could see it in the visitor's locker room. Like I like the jabs that are pointing at each other right now. You had, was it JR going off on people on them?
Yeah, JR was talking some trash.
Yeah.
The newspaper came out and said the Warriors blow a 3-1 lead. Oops. Muscle memory. Sorry. They blew a 14-point lead.
Wow.
And so it's fun. I hate being on the other side of it right now, and I don't remember the Warriors, aside from Draymond Green drunk at the parade talking a bunch of trash, I don't remember the Warriors being so braggadocious when they won, but, you know, that's fine. I'm cool with it. I enjoy the trash talk, even if the team I root for is on the other end of it. I enjoy it. I think it's, again, I think sports should be fun. They should be entertaining. They shouldn't be so serious and, you know, shake hands after the game and, you know, let's all learn a lesson about sportsmanship. You know, it's entertainment. These guys get paid millions of dollars. Let's have fun. Let's make it more professional wrestling style.
Yeah, I like a little trash talk because I feel like the game has actually gotten away from that. Like, I see a lot of times, like, after the game, everybody's, like, bro-ing down.
Right.
And it's like, I remember the 90s, like, the Knicks and the Bulls, they didn't like each other.
No.
You know what I mean? There
not
was
at
no
all.
Handshaking after the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Pistons walked out on the Bulls.
Yep.
The Pacers and the Knicks would punch each other in the face. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but like, yeah, I totally
agree.
Like,
there
I'm
was
fine.
Actual animosity there.
Yeah.
Now it's like everybody's
great.
Bros. I don't know if it's because everybody's making a ton more money these days or they're just, you know, I don't know what it is, but there doesn't seem to be that, like, legitimate, like, hatred between these teams. So when I see, like, some legit smack talk, it gets me fired up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's not just who cares who wins, we're all rich.
Yeah,
like, they
right.
want to win. They really, really want to win.
Yeah.
My only problem with this situation right now is that this predestiny that we seem to have in the NBA where there's really only two good teams. I mean, the Spurs are killer. They're great. But it's like, are they going to threaten Golden State in a 7-game series? I don't know. You know, I just don't, like, 6 months out, already kind of knowing who's going to be in the finals.
Yeah.
It's a tough way to go down, especially in like a sports where we want to see like action take place and stuff, you know? And I mean, that's what happens when you have, you know, a league that allows the ability to for anyone to go anywhere almost. And you can create those teams like that, you know?
Right.
When you got Miami there, it's kind of a sure gone fact that they're going to be in the finals every single year.
No doubt.
When you had Boston in there, it was like, okay, they're going to make the finals. Granted, they didn't make it one of the years, but they had their couple of runs in there. So
if KG didn't get hurt, they would have been 3 in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. And so you allow that to happen. You have this like very kind of lackadaisical look at how you can outshift people to go, and the power can shift instantaneously and can stay there for quite some time.
That's true.
And you don't really have that the dynamic of competition almost.
Whatever Eastern Conference team LeBron's on is going to the finals.
Yeah, that seems to be, been a foregone conclusion for the last, eight years?
Six or seven.
I think he went seven.
Four with the Heat, and then now two with Cleveland, so it's six.
Yeah, he's at six in a row, this will be seven.
Yeah. The reason he left for Miami is because he couldn't get past Boston.
That's right. With Cleveland the first time. That's right, yep. So I don't know, I find it interesting that, I think that this rivalry, even though, sure, maybe if we already know or have a good idea who's going to be there, that can make the regular season and much of the playoffs kind of malign. But I think that we saw it last year, and granted, KD was now with the Warriors, but the Warriors were pushed to the brink of elimination, down 3-1 and came back. They were pushed a little bit by the Blazers. So, you never know.
Right.
We could still end up with the same result and have... It could be interesting how both teams arrived there. I think Cleveland's clearly got the easier road. I think the Raptors may give them some trouble.
They'll give them a bit better fight than last year.
Yeah, I agree.
They're finally learning their ways a little bit over there up north, and they have a good team. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's really on a tear this year. Like,
he's an MVP candidate for sure.
And you have Kyle Lowry there. I mean, a legitimate point guard, and they have good pieces around there. I mean, not as Cleveland, but... You never know. I mean, if Cleveland takes an injury, I wouldn't be like a key player or something like that goes down in Cleveland. The Raptors are going to be right there, I feel, on their tails.
Yeah, same with the Warriors. I mean, I heard an argument the other day that the Warriors would be fine if they lost one of their key members because they have Kevin Durant now. But I think that's really short-sighted because they also gave up a whole lot to get KD. Mm-hmm. They fleeced their entire bench, essentially. And all those guys, like Maurice Spates was huge in the finals last year. I forgot what game it was. If it was game two or three. And the Warriors just couldn't get any rhythm. And Mo Buckets, as they call him, came in and hit like four or five jumpers, got them right back in the game. They ended up going on to win. And I don't think they don't have a deep enough bench that if one of their guys goes down, no matter how great their superstars are, if you lose any one of the big four on the Warriors, they're going to have a lot of trouble getting through the playoffs, and same with Cleveland as well. If any of those two teams lose any of their major stars, and I can't see LeBron going out because that guy's never injured, and I think we need to start doing blood tests.
Not human.
That guy's just...
Yeah, I'd say not even drug tests, just to check his DNA.
Yeah,
let's make sure we're from
Krypton or something.
Right, he's an alien because that guy's never injured, and he's still doing it at such a high level after being in the league 14 years. I mean... It's insane to me, but I don't know. I just find it. I do think that there still is some compelling storylines aside from the Warriors, and
it's fun watching some of these teams that have been down get good.
Like the Celtics, the Jazz, have been great. Yeah.
The Jazz is an interesting story, even with Hill being injured.
Yeah,
Rudy Gobert is really coming into his own right now.
Phenomenal. Hayward's a great player.
Gordon Hayward's been having a great season.
Rodney Hood, they're a good fun team to watch.
They are. I mean. You got some of them leaving right there, so again, you might see Gordon Hayward bouncing out to actual contending team right now, which, again, it kind of...
Is he in a contract here?
I believe so.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you definitely see someone like him, because he's a star mate brewing right now,
no doubt.
I feel. And
yeah.
I wish he'd hit that shot against Duke.
Oh, man. That would have been
the greatest night in college history.
Agreed.
Especially over like an 8 seed over Duke in a half court shot.
Buzzer to beat the hated Blue Devils.
Yeah,
I mean, do you know how
that was
the
their
kind
hometown
of parties
too.
That would have been sparked?
They
all
were in
the
Indianapolis
nation.
When it happened, where Butler's located. God. That would have just been the craziest thing. Like
it would have been like Hoosiers, but like. On steroids.
Yeah, like a real life. I mean, granted, the finals we got last year was phenomenal with Villanova
But having a small school like that,
Butler
going up against an absolute behemoth.
Right. The last 2 minutes of that game were some of the greatest last 2 minutes of any championship game you'll ever see.
Yeah.
I forgot the kid on North Carolina who hit that double clutch three.
Was it Payne? Payne?
I don't remember. No, anyway, regardless,
we're good.
I don't start paying attention to college hoop until about February.
Me neither.
Yeah, but
all I know is UCLA is really good, which is actually kind of cool because they haven't been in a while.
All right, thank you.
And that's
thank
another
you, Mr.
One.
LA.
Yeah, I got
that's
you.
Another one of those programs.
I got my dad UCLA tickets for Christmas. So
Nice present.
I mean, that's, they've won more national championships than anybody.
Right.
I mean, granted, it was pretty much all under Wooden. But that's one of those programs that's up there with North Carolina, Kansas, it's good for college basketball and the Bruins are good.
Absolutely.
The West Coast hasn't really had a team quite powerful, like a powerhouse team really on the West Coast.
Gonzaga's like one of those teams that are always good, but you're never really worried about them winning at all.
Yeah, you know? Make a couple Sweet 16 appearances. Yeah. And
Adam Morrison will cry his eyes away.
That happened. But kind of lost my point there. I was talking, who cares? Oh, we're talking about upstart teams. This is why I got all discombobulated for a second, because I wanted to check in how the Lakers are doing. I know they've kind of hit a little skid in the past month, and we're talking about these teams who, you know, previously were terrible and have been playing better as of late. And I checked the Western Conference standings, and I don't know how I didn't know about this. I don't know why alarms weren't going off on my social media. Sacramento's in the 8th seed in the West right now.
And they're like 4 games under 500.
Four games under 500. That's correct.
Yeah, the West is kind of...
They're down compared to past seasons.
I mean, a lot of people were riding really high on Minnesota this year, and
they're terrible. 9-21 right now.
I mean, the Lakers are beating them.
Yeah.
I mean, people have the Lakers at the bottom of the cellar right now, and they're kind of contending it for that 8 speed. I don't think they really are, but they're there. They're in that mix. And, like, that should... I don't know. I think that shouldn't be happening. Not yet, at least.
I mean, there's a lot of season left for them to slide.
No doubt.
I mean? Like, I mean, the fact they already got the 10 win mark already this season is kind of... I mean, as a fan, I didn't think that was going to happen until next year.
I think, though, overall for the organization, with Luke Walton there as coach, I think that, like, things are on the uptick again.
No, most definitely.
And if everything kind of stays the course here, they have a bright future for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, our bench is phenomenal.
They're loaded.
We're the highest scoring benches in the league right now. Yeah. I mean, Lou Williams come off there as a big point producer right there. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of young guys that are just
Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah. I mean, we just lost him for 4 weeks, which
that's brutal.
To a bone bruise, that's not anything you want to, you know, happen to your team.
No, but it's not a torn ACL.
Yeah, exactly. It's not anything I'm super worried about. Yeah, we're not going to win this season. That's fine. No. Just come back. You know. Yeah. But yeah, great young talent right there. Super athletic. You can just provide that energy off the bench, which you need. So there are, I mean, again, the teams really just haven't been producing. Like Portland right now, they're...
That's
what
kind of
to
a surprise.
Yeah.
Because after Aldridge left the last year, you thought they were going to take a dip, but Lillard really put them on his back.
Right.
You know, and so you figured, okay, nothing's going to change this year. So I don't know. That's kind of one of those things where, you know.
I was surprised because I said prior to the season starting that Damian Lillard was one of my dark horse MVP candidates. I thought that with the way the league is shaken up, and I knew that Steph Curry and KD were going to split their votes. So I just, and you know, LeBron's won it a whole bunch of times, and he's not worried about the regular season, so he doesn't care about an MVP. He's trying to lift the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of the season. So I thought this was one of the years, this was a perfect year set up for someone like Damian Lillard, who was going to be kind of flying under the radar. Everyone is going to be thinking, you know, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, those type of players were going to win the MVP. I thought this was going to be a really good shot for Dame Dollar, as he goes by, as his rap name. But, yeah, they kind of just have fallen apart, and I'm surprised. But enough about bad teams. Let's get into some football here. We've got some underwriting to get to. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Cotton Party, offering fine quality natural fiber clothing and accessories in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway, and they are open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. till 5, Sundays from noon till 5. For more information, you can call Cotton Party at 893-4923. Shop locally at Cotton Party next to Chico Paper Company and Birkenstock. So shouts to all our people right downstairs.
Yep.
Also, this is FM 90.1 KZFR. Listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond, broadcasting live and direct from downtown Chico, California. And thanks for listening, everybody. So let's talk NFL. I don't know where you guys want to start, but I thought maybe
Raiders.
Ooh. All right, let's start there.
Sorry, I just had to go. I don't know. I'm sorry. I just
I like
seeing tears on people when their team loses. I'm sorry. I'll find the statistic because
it was brutal.
It was sad. No, I'm sorry to see Derek Carr go down. No doubt, but it's fun to see Raiders fans back where like they're kind of misery. You know, it feels like it's kind of a little bit right.
I feel like Actually, I was thinking about this on the way down the hill today, and I was like, I actually kind of feel bad for him as a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
And because I've gotten 13 years of vitriol. I mean, total angst against me because of the Tuck rule game.
True, yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
So, like, Raiders.
You're like, okay, fine, some redemption right. for them. Yeah.
Well, so Raiders fans and I, there's no love lost there.
Sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I heard that Derek Carr broke his leg, my heart did go out to them just because they've been so terrible for so long that it was kind of fun to see them kind of back in the mix.
My team is a sucky team too, so I'm like, I don't really give them that much of a heart that much, you know? I'm like, yeah, we went to the Super Bowl last year. The Panthers
year.
Did, but. I mean, that was last year. That was, I mean, it's not like we're like perennial contenders every year, you know?
No, but you will be. And the thing is that there's a lot of teams that have Super Bowl hangover, especially the teams that lose. And so I feel like with Cam Newton, though, you've got the kind of guy where you guys are going to be in the mix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a down year, but it doesn't mean that next year you won't be NFC South champs again. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't. Yeah. All I'm saying is the future, I don't think, is that bleak for Carolina.
Neither do I. And I don't think the future is bleak for the Raiders. I mean, Derek Carr looks like a legitimate player.
No
Obviously,
doubt.
This injury sucks. I mean, breaking was his fibula he broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough to break. That's not any fun. And I, you know, obviously, I feel for him and, like, his season's over and he's having a great run. But granted, I do work at a bar, so I do hear a lot of stuff from Raiders fans all the time. So it got a little annoying to me. So this is like, oh, finally. Okay, maybe I'm not going to be hearing them that much right now.
You know what that sounds
like
to
let everybody know where you work so you can get a huge contingent down there.
Yeah, right. I love that.
Let's go to Bella Sports Pub, guys. I'm Derek. Come and say hello to me. I would love to say
hello. That sounds like...
I will drink your tears.
Ice-T put it best. That Ice-T put it best.
Oh, man. Hate.
Yes,
hate,
that is true. I do. I love to hate. Hate is the best.
I love it, man. You really do just enjoy being old and crotchety and just hating on stuff.
Like I said, daily dose of haterade, man. Doesn't stop.
I honestly, I feel terrible. The one thing that is going to be annoying, though, from Raiders fans is, oh, man, if only Derek Carr was healthy.
Right.
You know? And it's just like, yeah, but he wasn't. And they're going to talk about this until next season. They're just going to say, yeah, we were going to win the Super Bowl. We had it. If all we needed was Derek Carr.
And I mean, granted, I feel like that would have happened if they won. Like, if they did have Derek Carr and they won, they would be lording over us. And if they didn't have they had Derek Carr and they lost, like, oh, we just had a bad run. And, like, everyone's going to talk all the time.
No, there is kind of a like martyr aspect to Raiders fans.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, like, oh, we're always getting penalized or the Tuck rule. The league hates us because of Al Davis. You know what I mean? There's always this kind of like, we're getting screwed over. You can say screwed over.
Right? Yeah. But correct me if I'm wrong.
The other one.
Because my cousin brought this up the other day and I should have researched it. But when the Tuck rule happened, wasn't there 13 minutes or something left in the game?
Oh, yeah. No. I don't think it was 13, but it was basically like, I think the Raiders were up by one or two scores. It was a little bit later.
Yeah.
And that Woodson recovery would have been like, I believe, on New England's side of the field. Nobody was scoring.
Right.
It was like 10-3 or something. But they still, regardless of how much, we'll have to go back and look at that. But what I take away from that game was that the Raiders had plenty of chances to stop them. Like, because New England had to come down and score a touchdown. And then get a field goal, which was a really improbable field goal.
I mean, if anyone's, like I said, obviously...
Like, they blew it. They should have still won that game.
Yeah.
But coming from a Patriots fan's perspective, I admit it, and I'll tell everybody right now, that was a fumble. That's always been a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
And we got lucky, and we got the benefit of the call. Post 9/11 conspiracy theories, come at me. I don't care. Just because they're the Patriots, blah, blah, blah. I've heard that one for 10 years. Give me a break.
Right.
I mean, because if it was going to be anything, they would have given run right there. That's not like, you can't really say the Patriots. They were not the Patriots at that point in time.
No, they weren't. A lot of people say that that's what, like, you know, now they are what they were. And it's like, even if they lost that game, you got Brady and Belichick. They were going to get good. They were going to be good. You know what I mean? So, like, the last 15 years is not because of the Tuck rule. Great game. I mean, it's going to be one that goes down in NFL history pretty much forever, as long as there's a forever in an NFL.
Yeah, so that game, it looks like it ended up going into overtime. Is that correct?
I think so. And the Patriots won 13-10, I believe?
Yeah, that's accurate. So,
I just don't remember exactly how much time. It was definitely fourth quarter. It felt like less than 13, though, in my memory. It felt like...
I'm not going to try to...
I don't really remember. But it was definitely fourth quarter to where, like, if the Raiders had the ball right there, it would have been very difficult for the Patriots to come back because nobody was scoring.
Right.
And it was like, you know, 10-10 into overtime. So,
yeah, I just don't want to hear, and we're going to, if all we had was Derek Carr, we would have won a
Super
Bowl.
But I mean, Patriots fans can say that about Gronkowski.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Not this. Well, we can use that excuse this year. I mean, I won't.
Is there no chance Gronk's going to be back before the end of the season?
I believe he's done. They're saying he's done for the year. But I mean, the way they're rolling right now, I'm not even worried about it. A couple of years ago, I was worried about it.
Yeah.
But this year, I'm just like, whatever. Like, they're so good.
The rest of the AFC isn't exactly great.
I mean, losing.
There's three minutes left in the game. My
Kansas
cousin
City
just pushed
that.
That sounds a little. That sounds more
reasonable than 13.
Yeah.
That solves that argument.
I give KC and Pittsburgh a puncher's chance.
Yeah, I mean, KC is looking. I mean, the way they handled
they shouldn't
the Broncos.
Have lost to Tennessee at home, though. That was
brutal. Was a tough one.
That was Andy Reid encapsulated.
Yep. Nailed it.
You know what I mean? That's what he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like he's right. It's right there for the taking. Mm-hmm. Home field, division championship, and they lose to Tennessee at home.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
tough.
You
can't do that.
Can't do that.
I mean, hopefully he learns because I'm sure they're clamoring for something over there in Kansas City.
Well, Kansas City has the defense that could get it done. I know they're not rated incredibly high, but when you look, just watch the games, that defense is really, really
good.
They're
secondary
hard
from
too.
Marcus Peters as a corner. He's a top five corner.
Eric
right there.
Berry,
you got Eric Berry,
insane.
Yeah, DB, yeah, they're, that, I mean,
Justin
guys
Houston flying off one corner.
Yeah, you got this Tom Ball. He's still there.
Yeah.
He was not as dominant as he used to be, but still, I mean, a force that can still, you know, he can rush the line.
Yeah, it's never one guy that's tackling either. Like, when I watched that Raiders game on Thursday night, it was like four or five dudes around the ball. The guy's
every time.
And then he gets bounced off, and there's two other dudes ready to just nail him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard-hitting, aggressive defense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they've got a decent offense. Alex Smith can, as long as they're not down 14 points.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill the ball, and he's got a lane.
Right.
Seriously.
Man,
boom,
that's all you
gone.
Need. Yeah.
And you nailed it. As long as the Chiefs don't fall behind in a game by more than two scores, they have a chance to win. Alex Smith, if you get up 17, the game's over. It's just not his game. And I have lamented the fact that I hate watching him play for years now, both on and off air. Ask anyone who knows me.
Yes.
But I do really enjoy watching the Chiefs as a whole play. They are a pretty well-rounded team. Just wish they had a quarterback that pushed the ball down the field, but that's okay. I think Pittsburgh, they're too up and down for me. I think they have possibly the most explosive offense as far as potential.
So yesterday,
I mean, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and Roethlisberger's at the helm of that.
They just drove down the field at will yesterday.
Yeah,
it was almost like no one else was out there playing D.
And the thing is, too, like that's a rivalry game that you think Baltimore is going to show up to that and like put up put their dukes up and actually take some swings at them. And it's just, it was.
Well, Baltimore should have won that game. I mean, they had, a 7-point lead in the red zone, and they only go up by 10.
Yeah.
Should have gone up by 14, right? It was a 23-yard field goal, so they were on the 5.
Yeah.
And, and then you can't let them come down after you go up a minute 18 left.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, I mean, Ray Lewis, if he were dead, he'd be spinning in his grave.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the middle of the field was open for the taking. I mean, it was like they're trying so hard to keep them from getting out of bounds to stop the clock.
Right.
But the Steelers still had a timeout. There's a minute 18, so they could still spike the ball. You know, there's plenty of time, but a minute 18 for an offense that's that good, you don't need to necessarily get out of bounds every play.
No.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger is a wily vet. He knows what he's doing out there. You know, he's not going to make some huge clock management error.
No.
So you just play defense straight up, and it looks like they started to get into the prevent D, as my cousin Chase just texted me. They started to get in the prevent D, and I just don't understand how many times are we going to watch teams drop into a prevent D,
give up a bunch of yards and game time field goal or go ahead and touchdown.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Yeah. I mean, if they beat you deep, they beat you deep.
Right.
You know?
Because if you give up a bunch of yards and they get into field goal position, then you're going to overtime, which you don't want anyway.
Right.
So it's like, what are you saying? You're playing for overtime? No, play the way you were playing and stop them. Make a stop.
It is so weird how like that. Just because there's like that much time left, they think, oh man, we just have to completely throw out what we knew in defensively.
Just don't let them score.
Because it's been working, but no, we're going to do something different because this calls for this type of defense.
Right.
It's like, no, you keep rushing the quarterback
Bring
like you've
pressure.
Been.
Yeah.
Keep the pressure on. Like, whenever I've always they always say before, whenever you're doing like that deep throw, why they're only rushing 3 to 4 guys?
Yeah.
Bring an extra guy in there right now. You know,
why give him all that time?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't let him have that chance. I mean, I know that you just, if you don't give, because they have to get down the field. If you don't give them that time to get down the field, if you get them in 3 seconds, three seconds, game over. Boom. Yeah.
You should be able to defend, because there's only 5 eligible receivers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you should have 6, 7 guys. You should at least be bringing 4.
At least four. If you're bringing 3, you're just, you deserve to lose this game right now.
I've always wondered on Hail Marys why they, it seems that they never bring an additional rusher. I mean, I just don't understand rushing 3 when it's an obvious desperate situation. They got to go deep, and you're just going to give the quarterback time to drop back.
It's going to take 5-6 seconds for them to get down there.
Right.
So like Derek just said, if you just bring that extra rusher, you don't give them time.
Yeah.
You don't
exactly.
even let them get the ball off.
Exactly. And then I really hate in the NFL when the Ravens yesterday were trying to run that lateral play at the end of the game. Joe Flacco, we saw it against the Broncos when they went to the Super Bowl and beat the Niners. That guy can throw 80 yards in the air. Let him drop back. You know they're only going to rush a few guys like we were just talking about. Yeah. And let him just chuck it. You have, I don't want to say a 50-50 chance. I'm sure the chances are a lot less than that. But
that's a better chance than trying to lateral it.
We saw Aaron Rodgers do it twice. Saw Aaron Rodgers do it twice last year in the regular season. We've seen it happen.
And they almost did it again in the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah, against
Arizona.
Arizona,
didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that they had the one against they had the
Detroit.
Janus one that well, they had the Detroit one that won it.
That
and they
worked.
Had the one that went made him go to overtime.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
yeah,
there
yeah.
was like 3 chances, like 2-1 game though.
Yeah.
That Arizona game he had like those 2 chances. One that completed a Janus. I believe that tied it.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
And he had another opportunity too, didn't he, I feel, in that game? Or
he at least converted 2 of those last year, which
exactly.
is 2
yeah.
more than should be converted.
Right, yes. But the fact of the matter is it happens every year. There's a couple of them that are completed. There's been a handful that's happened in the regular season this year, and I just don't understand why you go to the hook and ladder when I don't really ever remember a time, at least in recent history,
especially.
In the NFL, that plays ever worked. And so I just... Especially, I get it, again, if you have Alex Smith, who doesn't have a huge arm and loves throwing it 7 yards down the field, sure.
Perfect play for him.
That's the guy you use it. But Joe Flacco could throw it through the uprights from where he was at. And so I just don't understand.
And they got guys down there. I mean, Steve Smith and Mike Wallace guys, they're burners.
Right.
I mean, granted, they were burners in their day. They're a little bit older now, but they can still run. And they can
they
still get down.
They can still get up.
Yeah,
they got
both
hands.
Of them. I mean... Season is oh his jumps were his
yeah so just amazing. Just give your guys a shot, and that's why I was so surprised to see them. Not that you know there was a great chance that they were going to win by throwing a Hail Mary, but
I feel like it's a better chance than what they tried to
right
do.
Yeah. And so I just it just always bothers me when NFL professional football teams go for that play. It just never really seems to work,
because I feel like that play only works that would work in a college setting, because if that play works, it just shows a lack of undiscipline on your defensive
right.
part, in which the NFL, you're training your guys to be as disciplined as you possibly can be. They're professionals, so that type of stuff shouldn't happen. You know,
right.
like if a hook and ladder play were to work in the NFL, I feel the defense would get their ass chewed out, like beyond measure.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand it at all. But it is what it is, right? Let's see. We have so the AFC playoff picture is set. I'm trying to pull it up here on my phone clumsily.
The teams are in, but the seeding is still
the seeding's still up in the air, but we at least know who's going to be in it, which makes the last week of the NFL super exciting. but let's see here. We have New England, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Houston, Kansas City, Miami. Really, we're looking at isn't Pittsburgh? Yeah, I said Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh, New England, and Kansas City, I think, are the only teams that have legit shot to Super Bowl.
We only have like one good game next week, and that's Detroit and Green Bay, because
that'll be for the division championship.
That's a playoff game right there, pretty much. But everything else is set in stone. So
they flexed that to the Sunday night game, which I think
I mean,
oh, they did.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. Detroit is down 14-7 with 13:40 down in Dallas right now.
This game means nothing to them, because even if they win,
no, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So. Except for maybe home field over Atlanta, I guess.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But, like, honestly, if they lose tonight, they're still eligible for the division championship.
Right. You know? Which, will be interesting to see. That'll be a lot of fun.
I think Green Bay is going to win that game.
Especially I do too.
Green Bay's been rolling lately too.
Yeah, five in a row.
Yeah,
I completely expect Green Bay to win because Detroit. And I've always rooted for the Lions because they've always had really talented players and never really done anything.
Yeah.
They haven't won a playoff game in 20 something years or something like that. So
they hadn't even been in a playoff game until like a few years ago against the Saints.
Right.
I will say their only benefit is they are at home against Green Bay, so they don't have to worry about it being cold or anything.
Right.
So you got their indoor field and Matthew Stafford can be comfortable, but still, Green Bay is on that roll right now. And Aaron Rodgers, especially that game on Saturday against Minnesota, he was lighting them up.
Speaking of the Minnesota game, did you guys hear about how the DBs kind of took it on their own with the coverage?
I did not know.
There was a little blurb on ESPN about their coverage on Jordy Nelson. I guess what they're going to do is they're going to shadow him, right? I can't remember the DB's name right now off the top of my head.
Rhodes.
But then, yes, Xavier Rhodes. But then they decided not to switch sides because they had basically a players only meeting with the defensive backs. And they said, we never switch sides against the Packers. We never have, and we're not doing it in this game. So I guess they freelanced on the first possession. And they gave up, like, you know, Jordy Nelson went off in the first half and was held down in the second half or whatever. But I guess Zimmer went off on the players and was like, what's going on?
That's borderline mutiny right
now. No, it really was. Yeah. And supposedly he's like a coach that the players really, really respect. But yeah, you can look it up. They actually kind of chose to do their own coverage and it backfired.
Well, see, I actually, I'm all for that when the coach empowers his players.
Right.
For example, we were talking about this, I think, last week or the week before. John Harbaugh, since he moved into the head coaching role, has always included some of his players in coming up with part of the game plan. Not turning over the entire game plan and say, figure it out.
But getting input.
Yeah, giving their input and having them giving them specific assignments to come up with drawing up the game plan. And so I'm all for that. But doing it without coach's approval?
No, you can't do that.
That's kind of counterintuitive almost because it was a whole, you know, I want to find out more about the story and I will read more about it. But was a whole defense in on this? Was it just the secondary?
I think it was just the secondary.
And that's a big problem.
I mean, because your own defense doesn't even know what your backs are doing behind you. Like, you're playing one coverage, they're doing something completely different behind you. You're,
that's no good.
So what if the linebackers are dropping in the zone and your corners are playing man like that? Wow, that's interesting. And Minnesota's D has been so good this season, so it's surprising that they would take it on their own to be like, this is how we're going to defend them.
Right.
Damn what coach says.
It's just based on their past games with Green Bay, too.
Yeah.
Not even like, you know what I mean, they just disagree with the game plan. It was like basically, from what I read, it was specifically about their past matchups with Green Bay.
That's
like
crazy.
It was like a pride thing.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't switch sides against Green Bay. Everybody stayed on their normal side or whatever, where the coach wanted him to shadow Nelson.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, just the pride in that moment just seems so ridiculous because you guys are out of the playoffs at that point in time.
Well, if they'd won, would they have been alive?
Would they have been alive at that point? Okay. I didn't realize. I thought that they were pretty much
barely hanging on a thread.
But
they needed to win out and
they
have people lose.
Win. Yeah.
For them to get into the playoffs, which
I believe they would have been only, you know, a game behind or half a game behind Washington. Like, they would have been alive.
Yeah,
if they
were 7-7 going into that game.
Yeah,
and Green Bay was 8-6.
So if they won, they're 8-7, and then be a half game behind Washington for the sixth spot, I believe.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
That's accurate. I don't know. I think this the NFC is going to be interesting. My money would say Seattle would be the favorites, but they're
not.
I mean,
that
game against Arizona was tough. Granted, it made it really interesting at the end of it, but still,
they've had some flops though. The Green Bay was terrible. The game was terrible.
Right.
I mean, Wilson's not going to throw five picks again, probably ever.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just, I don't know. They don't look like that scary.
I mean,
unbeatable Seattle team.
I mean, they
lost
losing Lockett too, man. That's going to be a little bit tough.
Is he out for the season?
I mean, did you not see his leg snap?
Oh no, I missed that.
Oh, dude, his ankle snapped.
Oh wow!
Like he got dragged down. Some guy landed on it, and his thing is just dangling. It's not like a great It's not one of those nasty ones, but I can see it. You can see like his leg just like do that when your ankle snap, man. Like, and I mean, they put him right in a boot. He's crying almost. I mean, they kept showing it over and over again. I'm like watching the TV. Like, why are we doing? Like, granted, don't we see a great view of it? But I know what's happening in this moment right now. I can see it. I know it's
right.
I'm dying. Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just think Seattle, and I didn't even know they lost Lockett, but I know losing Earl Thomas, again, we were talking about corners being able to freelance. Earl Thomas is kind of the guy who makes everything work in that secondary and allows Richard Sherman to shut down half of the field. And so I think losing him is just, that's such a crushing blow to their title chances.
Are we really think it's going to be like possibly Dallas and Atlanta?
Like I think Atlanta's got a really good shot, actually, because I feel like in the middle of the season, they were kind of starting to fade after that hot start. And I was like, oh, here comes Atlanta again. You know what I mean? Like, paper
just
champions.
Ask this guy. He never trusts
them. You shouldn't.
One of my rules to live by is don't trust the Falcons.
Hey, that's words to live by. Yeah. But no, I just feel like they actually, like, Matty Ice is playing pretty good. And they got a lot of weapons over there, man. I mean, they're loaded on offense. And if they don't get hurt, you know what I mean? Like, Dallas is a great team, but it's like you still got a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back.
Yeah.
And we've seen rookies win before, but it's just one of those things, man, where, like, I kind of don't trust Dallas. Yeah. I don't know who to trust in the NFC, honestly.
I just,
you know, like, from a betting perspective, like, I'm, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what some of these playoff lines will be.
Yeah, right.
Because I think, like, you know, nobody should really be, like, a clear-cut favorite, I don't think.
Dallas would be, if they had a monstrous defense, I would feel more comfortable with the rookie quarterback.
Especially with that line that they have up front.
Yeah, I would be fine with putting some money down on Dallas. But that defense is decent, but they're not scary, you know. And when it comes down to playoffs, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it really comes down to a few elite players making a few elite plays, and I think Dallas has some really great parts, but I just do not trust a rookie at the helm, again, when you don't have that dynamic defense. And I can't really name who's their best player on defense.
The first one that's coming to mind is just Sean Lee as their linebacker. But then again,
he's good.
Yeah, he's good, but I wouldn't say he's
not the Sean Lee of 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, he's been hurt a lot and missed some seasons. So, I mean, they have – is Morris Claiborne one of their corners?
Claiborne is, yeah. He's good, you know.
Yeah, but again, no one that's going to be –
when you start,
like,
a sentence with is such and such one of their corners as possibly one of the best players, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think you just kind of proved our point here is that it's just hard to trust them. Not that it wouldn't absolutely shock me to see them in the Super Bowl and potentially win one, but it also, I definitely wouldn't bet on it. So we'll see. I don't know.
I think Green Bay, honestly, just because they have the most experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got Aaron Rodgers who can go in any stadium. I mean, that first run, you know, they went into Atlanta and beat an Atlanta team that I think was like 13-3, number one seed. You know what I mean? So, like, Rodgers can get it done. They've won 5 in a row. They're getting hot. Their defense is probably just as good as Dallas's. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. I think Green Bay can win 3 in a row. Even, you know, they'd have to win 2 on the road probably. But I think Green Bay, actually, just because Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback over there.
No, one of the best reasons to, you know, put your money on is the best quarterback out there.
Totally.
That was
I'm just throwing keyboards around here.
I mean, you have those years where, like, Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson win, but they were on teams with, like, all-time defenses.
Again, I don't see it. There's no real, I feel, all-time defense that's happening right now this league right at this point. Not this year. There's no one that's like, oh yeah, that defense is just like ridiculously
bad.
I was gonna point out too that Green Bay's secondary has been garbage this year. I mean, just terrible. My cousin just sent me a stat. The Packers are giving up 350 yards a game on defense, and that's not typically how you win championships.
No.
Aaron Rodgers, he's a hell of a quarterback, and you know, if any guy can overcome a terrible defense at this stage in their careers, I think Aaron Rodgers is probably the best candidate for that. But still, 350 yards and a suspect secondary just makes it hard for me to put my stock in you either.
I'd be interesting to know what that average is over the last 5 games.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Because they have one.
We need to get my cousin as our fact checker.
Our official stat guy. This sounds good, man. We need
to get out of Santa Barbara.
Yeah, Chase.
Actually, no, don't.
Go drop out of school and just come work for free here.
for free here.
Give us.
The future is so bright here. I'm just like, I can't even open my eyes.
Upward mobility.
Yeah. You can go from working for free to working for free.
Right.
So, I think that
freedom, baby.
Yeah, I think the NFC is going to be really compelling. The playoffs will be really compelling to see how everything shakes out. We have so much so much parity in the NFL this year, which people argue that's what's so great about the NFL. This year, I think it's made the season less compelling than ever before.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I like when there's a couple powerhouse teams that you can either root for and be a bandwagon or root against.
We got that. The Patriots and Cowboys. Those are very polarizing organizations.
But I don't
either love or hate those guys.
Sure, but I don't think, and yes, I think it's going to be great for the NFL as far as ratings and everything else. If that's our matchup, and they're not worried about the Super Bowl ratings. They're going to be through the roof as they always are. But I think, yeah, it will be great for the NFL. But again, I don't think either one of those teams is great, historically great. You know, I think the Patriots are really, really, really good,
yeah.
But they're not even the Patriots of 2 years ago.
I don't know. I think this team might actually be as good. They're sneaky good on defense. I mean, their defense is really good.
Yeah.
They've allowed the least points in the NFL.
Yeah.
So that's something to hang your hat on. And you know, they've got a bunch of like short white dudes catching the ball.
Right.
But Brady's favorites.
They're Brady's favorites. You know what I mean? But I think like Bennett can step up and fill in for Gronk. Mm-hmm. They're kind of getting away from the two tight end thing now, obviously.
Right.
But like Mitchell, I think his name is, the rookie.
Yeah.
The second year kid, Malcolm Mitchell, I believe.
Yeah.
He stepped up and had a couple.
The running back they have, White, he's.
Yeah.
James White, and he's good.
I mean, he's got hands.
Blunt's healthy. Like, they're like.
He might lead all running backs in touchdowns this season,
wow.
Which would be the first time a Patriot's ever done right. that, which would be crazy.
That would be cool. So, like, I do think this is actually. This isn't the 2007 team that was 18-0,
yeah,
not by any stretch, but that defense is better than that.
Agreed.
That defense was ranked 31st,
and who would?
That's how good that offense was that year.
Well, yeah, Randy Moss though was just dusting everyone,
yeah, but
and Tom Brady
Madden.
Was
it's not a Madden video game. It happened.
Yeah, no doubt. But Tom Brady and Randy Moss made it look like Madden that season.
It was incredible to watch. Yeah,
I remember. I think that was my first year. Buying Red Zone, or I don't remember if it was Red Zone or we had.
It was just like stuck on the Patriots game the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I just
scored again, guys. We're gonna go to. Oh, sorry, guys. Patriots just scored a bomb. Randy Moss. Yeah,
I remember specifically when Randy Moss is one of my favorite players of all time, hands down.
Great.
And when he went to the Patriots, I was so excited to see this guy finally get unleashed with the best quarterback in the league at the time. And that year was insane to watch him. I mean, it was just like 60-yard bomb, 70-yard bomb, 50-yard bomb, Randy Moss. And that was, I believe, the same year when he absolutely toasted Darrell Revis and
you think
got
like
that
two
one-handed.
Steps is like, hand up, I'm open.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and he had that one-handed catch in the end zone and just nonchalantly dropped the ball. And just was like, yeah, I'm this good. And that was a lot of fun to watch. But, yeah, the Patriots are a much more well-rounded team, to your point, this season. Even after losing Jamie Collins, which I honestly thought was going to be a big deal for them.
Me too. I was, like, surprised.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's a Belichickian move.
Again, yeah,
but still.
Was Michael Floyd active this week?
That I don't know. I know he's dealing with that DUI.
Right.
Right.
I mean, because that could be actually kind of fun comparing him, Michael Floyd,
oh,
and Brady.
When I found out about that, I was like, oh, it's on. You know
I was like,
mean?
I mean, like, I loved, I mean, it sounds like a classic Belichick move. Granted, the DUI seems a little out there, but he's like,
but
yo,
they
this
knew
guy
about
play.
It.
Yeah.
They said that they knew about it.
Yeah.
Because usually they stay away from, like, you know, typically, like, quote unquote trouble cases. I don't think this
I mean,
guy
that was his
is.
First time, I feel, you
but
know.
There I was, heard. I think it was his second, I think I heard that he got one in college.
Okay.
But you know, whatever. Like, you're a kid, you do dumb
yeah.
stuff. You know what I mean? But
right.
falling asleep behind the wheel of your car, not good. Having to get woken up by a police officer banging on your window with a flashlight, not good. But the
he was
Patriots,
not driving though, right?
But he wasn't driving. Yeah, he didn't hurt anybody. But you know,
still,
a little lesson to the kids out
we need
there.
Better
don't
drink decisions and drive. Out there.
But you know, it's funny. The Patriots did know about it, and they've taken a couple chances on quote unquote trouble guys like Corey Dillon. They drafted the one guy from the University of Miami. I can't remember his name. He was sort of a trouble spot. Even people were saying Randy Moss.
Yeah, I was gonna say Moss
locker
had his,
room trouble
had his issues too.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think if anybody can get these types of people in line. It's the Patriots because they're just such a well-oiled machine that when you get in there, it's like you can't really disrupt it.
Well,
if you do, you're gone. And I'm not saying Michael Floyd is a trouble. I don't, you know, you get a couple DUIs, you're not the worst person in the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, but it is something that, like, if he gets one of the Patriots, he'll be gone.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they did have that, you know, that whole incident with the guy who seems to be serial murderer.
Oh, yeah,
but
I forgot about that one.
That happened, but they've established a culture
Wait, who
there.
Are we talking about?
They've established,
other than having a homicidal maniac as your tight end, other than that, they're pretty squeaky clean.
Yeah. Other than that, they've been great. No, but they've established a culture where it's, we don't care who you are. You get in, you fall in line, you do things the Patriots way, yep, or we'll cut you. And you know, they still allow players to have a bit of their personality. Bennett hasn't stopped talking since he...
Which I was surprised.
I was too. But you know, Bill Belichick seems to be cool with letting him do it, because he hasn't really said anything inflammatory against the opponents that they're playing.
No, but he talks a little bit of smack about the NFL in general.